I've got something I've been thinking about, and I don't know, I pray the Lord will bless me to be able to express it to you all in a way that's pleasing to Him and beneficial to all of us. I think it was maybe a song that I heard that started getting my mind going. Jesus Christ has come to set the captives free. He died to take away death's sting or something like that. And I don't know, it just kind of got me thinking a little bit. I'd like to turn to John chapter 8. Starting in verse 31. It says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" You know, I was thinking about this comment here that they made and what Jesus had told them. He said that the truth should make you free. But they didn't even realize they were in bondage. They didn't even know they were in captivity. And it's not necessarily a physical captivity, because obviously they said, we've not been in bondage, you know, to any man. But they didn't realize that they were held captive. You know, I was thinking about it as, you know, does somebody that doesn't know they're captive seek deliverance? Does someone that doesn't realize that they're in bonds or under oppression seek deliverance in any way? It's just the way it is, right? I believe it was last week, Brother Kevin had mentioned something about a person that was in captivity, and they never even sought to be released, really. They never really thought to get out until somebody told them about something that they had never participated in or never had. They mentioned chicken to them, and they had never experienced chicken, you know, the ability to eat chicken. And it made him curious and it made him desirous for it. And that's what got them to escape their captivity. Otherwise, they would have just stayed where they were. You know, and until we can come to the realization that we have a need, then we won't ever really seek to be delivered or freed. These people were under bondage and didn't realize it. They didn't understand it. And they didn't understand what Jesus was saying when he said, you shall be made free. And it's obvious in how they responded to him. You know, and sometimes I think about us. Do we remember when we were in bondage? Do we remember being set free? Or would we be similar to them and think that I was never really in bondage? I was never really captive to anyone or anything. Jesus' response. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." That's bondage.
Yes, that's right.
And so he identifies to them the bondage that they were in. The bondage that they needed deliverance from. What they needed freedom from was sin. And every one of them would have had to raise their hand at some point in their life where sin had held them captive. Sin had brought about a bondage in their life. And it was that they needed deliverance from.
That's
or freedom from. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And I believe Clark was mentioning something about this, and that the son of the house is the heir who has the power and authority to set the captives free. But a slave is not in authority to do such a thing. And so Jesus has the power and authority to set us free from the bondages that we are in. And he wants to do so. He wants to make us free. I'd like to turn to Isaiah. This was one of the scriptures that Jesus read in the synagogue, which I believe was something that was customary for them to do, was to stand up and maybe read a passage. And so he did that. He stood up and he read this scripture. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is Isaiah 61 and 1. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. The Lord wants to set us free. The Lord wants to deliver us from bondage. And if you've been delivered and if you've been set free and you've experienced that, then it's our job or our responsibility to help those who are still captive to be set free. We have good news for them. But if we forget and we've forgotten of what God has done for us in our lives, if we look back and don't remember the bondages that we were in and the deliverance that took place and how God miraculously delivered us and saved us from that bondage, then it's going to be difficult for us to be able to communicate to somebody else how they can be set free, how they can receive a testimony on our part saying that I know that you can be set free because Christ set me free. He delivered me from the bondages that I was in. And, you know, sometimes I think that when we think about bondages or we think about captivity and being bound, we always think of the person that's in the gutter somewhere. We always think of the person that's got the bottle in their hand and are constantly drinking. Or we think of that one that's got, the drug addiction or... We always think about them. And no doubt they are in bondage. No doubt they need freedom and deliverance from their captivity. But you know that you walk by people all of the time that need deliverance, that are bound, that are captive. I think of the prayer request that we heard tonight of the 93-year-old lady. That it's bond inbound to unforgiveness. She's bound by that. But you know what? Christ can set her free. Christ can deliver her. And it's not about the person that inflicted the oppression or the person that she's having difficulty forgiving. It's not even really about them. But it's about her. Those people are probably long gone. But yet the experience that she was under still holds her bound. But Christ can set her free. You know, I think of those individuals that are maybe... I can maybe use myself as an example. The things that I've done in the past could still hold me bound if it wasn't for Christ's deliverance in my heart. The ability for Him to help me not to have to feel that guilt eternally. And it's not that I'm not guilty. You know, it's not that I didn't commit the the atrocity that brought about that guilt in my life. But Jesus Christ has set me free of it. That I don't have to dwell upon it every day and wake up and experience the shame and the guilt and all of that every day when I wake up. Now, some would maybe want that. They would want me to experience that every day. And I can't begrudge them of that. But the Lord needs to give them deliverance. Give them freedom from the captivity of unforgiveness. But you know, the Lord can set all those things free. He can set us free from guilt, from shame. He can set us free from addictions and habits. He can set us free from fear. Fear hath torment. That's a bondage. If we have anxiety and worry about everything, that's a bondage. You know, the world would tell us that depression is just something that happens. It's just something that is part of our world or part of our lives. And the world would maybe try to communicate such a thing that, well, you're no different than, you know, 50% or 60% of the people out here in the world. But I'll tell you, Jesus Christ can set you free. He doesn't give us depression. That's not what He offers us. He doesn't offer us these things, but they'll bind us down and they'll hold us down. And if we allow the devil to speak to us and talk to us and make us think that all these things are just normal and it's just the way it is, then we just stay in bondage. We just stay right under it and allow it to affect our lives and allow it to produce canker sores in our lives. And we never really experience the deliverance of it. But Christ has deliverance. It's in Christ. And it's not for us to just, again, get all into ourselves and say, oh, well, you know, I'm depressed and, you know, I'm a bad person because of that, or I feel guilty and maybe I'm not saved because I feel that way, or, you know, I still experience shame for the things that I've committed in my past, and maybe that means I'm not really delivered. But no, that's not the case, folks. That's the devil continuing to try to place you under bondage and get you to forget about what Christ has done in your life. That He's brought about a forgiveness and a deliverance and a washing and a cleansing of all those things, that you don't have to bear them anymore. You don't have to carry them anymore. You don't have to have them as a backpack that you take around with you. But Christ has set you free, and free indeed. But the devil does not want you to be free. He wants you to be bound. If he can get you into your head and get you to be in unbelief about what Christ has done in your heart, in your life, if he could get you to accept sin, if he could get you to accept unforgiveness, and be like, I'm justified in this, I have a right to be angry, I have a right to hate them, I have a right to despise them, if he can get us that way, then he can keep us bound. But Christ has come to set us free from that. I'd like to turn to 2 Peter. You know, I talk about this particular thing quite a bit because I really believe that it's detrimental to people. In 2 Peter chapter 2:19, it says, while they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. You know, and when I think of that, I imagine the people that just tell everybody, you know, you're just going to sin every day. That's just the way it is. That's life. That's all of us. Just join in with us all and accept it and make it, it's all right. But what did the scriptures say before? He that commits sin is the servant of sin. That's bondage, no matter how you look at it. Christ did not set us free in order to leave us into bondage. That's not why He paid the price for us. To just leave us in that. What kind of deliverance would that be? If you were in a jail cell and I told you that you're set free. You're free and free indeed. And then I lock the door and I walk away. Is that freedom? They're still locked in the cage. And that's the same thing as if we were to say that Jesus Christ sets us free from our sin. And then yet you just continue on in sin? No. No. He set us free from more than just the guilt. He set us free from more than just the penalty. He set us free from the bondage of it. So that we don't have to live in it anymore. We don't have to experience that anymore in our lives. But some would have us to believe, and they're servants of corruption themselves. And it goes back to what I was saying before. If we believe that, if we buy into their narrative that everybody is just going to sin any every day or whatever, and we fall into that, what do? We lead ourselves into bondage. We accept it and just allow it to be a norm in our lives. The Lord doesn't want us to do that, folks. He doesn't want us to buy into the devil's lies because He wants to keep us bound. If we're committing sin, then we're still the servants of sin and we're still in bondage. It's just that simple. And the hope that we have in Christ is that we can be set free of that. And we no longer have to walk in it. I'd like to go to Hebrews 13. You know, I was talking earlier about how important it is for us to remember our own bondage. And believe me, I understand. I get it. You know, that the bondages that many of you have experienced are not the same as the bondages that I have experienced. Although they're the same in the sense that sin is sin, they're not necessarily readily visual or apparent in all of us. But the deliverance is the same. In Hebrews 13 and 3, it says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. Now, I know that this is most likely referring to those that are maybe in bonds physically in their jail cell, perhaps for ministering the gospel or for, you know, being persecuted for serving Christ. But I want us to think about the bonds that we're talking about tonight too. It says, remember them that are in bonds. So think about those people, like I said, that we, not just you, we walk by all the time. And this is something that I pray the Lord would help me with, that He would help me to see them as He sees them and to recognize the needs that they have and to be able to be willing to be useful to Him and a benefit to them. But if I look at people, I told my wife the other day, I was doing something throughout the day, and I was telling her that it's difficult for me sometimes to look at people and realize that they really do have spiritual needs. They really do have these bondages that we've talked about tonight. And like I said, the guy that's drinking on the curb, it's pretty obvious that there's a bondage there, right? I mean, It's pretty apparent that there's something going on here that needs help. But there's people that seem like they're going on in life relatively fine. Right? And until you really get to know them or maybe get to talking with them on an intimate level, you would never know really what the bondages are. And it's very difficult to help somebody get out of bondage when they don't know they're in bondage. And it's very difficult for me to want to interact or get involved in somebody when I'm unable to see the bondage, maybe. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. And so really what that is saying is like, we relate with them. We understand, we remember and think to ourselves, yes, maybe the bondage that I have is not the same that you have. But I understand that you have a need in your life, and I understand who can help you with that. And the reason why I know that they can help you with that is because they helped me and they delivered me. And so we've received something that we can give to someone else. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 2:24. It says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." So to break this down, it says the servant of the Lord. That's you and that's me, right? The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. That is remembering those who are in bonds as bound with them. There's no little I's and or big I's and little U's or whatever, right? But remembering that I was once a captive, but now I'm free, and having an attitude that's gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. That meekness gives us the ability to be able to talk to them. Not with a judgmental attitude or with a hammer of you ought to know better or any of that, but it's one that's going to bring about a deliverance or a help towards that we can speak to them in such a way, because they're opposing themselves. It says, if God will peradventure give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that comes from God, folks. You know, I've said it before, but when the Lord is dealing with you and he's talking to your heart and there's conviction there, and you can tell that the Lord is saying, this is you, he's talking to you, this message is for you, and it's bubbling up in your heart, that is the time to respond. This word is saying that he's giving you repentance, or he's giving you an opportunity to recognize your need. He's helping you to see that this is what I need. This is what God wants to do for me. And I need to respond now while I'm experiencing that, for it to really take root into my heart. And so that is a gift that God gives unto us. When he gives us that acknowledgement of the truth that we're in bondage and we need help. When Jesus told them that the truth would set you free, and they didn't realize that they were bound, that was a gift that he gave unto them. And then he showed them how they were bound, and that gave them an opportunity to be made free. And the Lord wants to do that for you and for me. And he has done that for many of us, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. It really takes for a person to realize that they're in bonds to be delivered, to be able to seek after that which would deliver them from that bondage. so that they can call out to God, pray unto the Lord, and ask Him to deliver them, ask them to forgive them, ask them to help them with their unforgiveness. Bring it all before the Lord, and He is able to set the captives free. But this is something that the Lord has given us as a responsibility, that we have a part to play in this whole thing. And I pray that the Lord would help us and help me to be active in the lives of the people around me. To be able to inspire them to know that they can be free. And that they don't have to just rest in whatever it is that's keeping them bound. They don't have to accept it. We can have faith in God to bring about victory in our lives, in all aspects of our lives. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 and 13. It says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear." Folks, when you receive the Spirit of God and the deliverance of God, He's not giving us bondage. He's not giving us a spirit of bondage to be afraid or to have fear in our hearts. When we're saved, we're saved. When Jesus Christ says that you're saved and delivered, you're saved. And don't allow the devil to bring you back into bondage through the spirit of bondage that he would try to introduce into you. You know, I've seen it happen where people have the devil trying to accuse them or talk to them about their state in life or if you were really a child of God, would you be going through this? Or if you were really a child of God, would you feel this way? Or you know what I mean? And bringing about accusations into them and trying to put an oppressive spirit upon them and trying to bring them into bondage and fear. Am I really okay? Did the Lord really save me? Is the work that I thought that God did in my life, was it real? Did it really happen? Is all this just a dream that I've made up? And you see how the devil can bring about confusion into your life and into your mind and get you to wondering all about everything? The Lord is faithful to tell us if we're out of sorts. Okay? And He's not going to do it that way. He knows how to speak to our hearts. And He knows how to let us know. And He can speak to us and He can say, "Child, this is the problem. This is something that I need you to deal with. Or this is something that needs to happen." But if it's all just some imagination in our mind and we can't really pinpoint anything and we don't really know what it is, it's just we feel. Watch out. The devil's trying to get you to accept a bondage. And I pray that the Lord would help us all of us, because we will experience battles. We will experience trials. And the devil is not going to leave any of us alone. He's not going to leave any of us alone all the way to the very end. But if we're confident and we're assured of who our Father in heaven is and the work that He's done in our lives, and we can remember and go back, "No, I remember that He set me free. I remember that God spoke to my heart and He gave me deliverance and He freed me from that bondage that I was in. And I'm not a captive anymore." And we can be able to say, "Depart from me." And not allow the devil to again put us under bondage. He says, For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. What is the song, I am a child of God? I am a child of God. A child of the King. We have everything at our disposal, if you will. Through Christ, everything that He is an heir of, He has made us joint heirs with Him. And we can be partakers of all that He has. And He wants to impart it into us. And part of that impartation to us comes through us, our faith. And our ability to believe that He not only has it on hand to give it to us, but He also has the desire to give it unto us, and He has the power to give it unto us. And that that power that is working in us can produce the results that we expect that it would produce. And holding on in faith. And it's not some blind faith of a wish or a hope or a dream. It's faith in something that's actual and factual. That God has the power to do it, and He wants to do it in our lives. I had a scripture here in Hebrews, but it's similar to what we've already spoke of, but I'm going to read it anyways. Hebrews 2 and 15. It says, or we'll read 14 too. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I thank the Lord that we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear death, folks. You know, I think about that, and there was a time in my life where I guess you could say I was a little more reckless. And this was in faith, but I was more reckless. And I didn't care what people were going to do to me. I had opportunities where the devil would want to bring about fear. Or the devil would want to tell me that it doesn't matter what you do, it's a bad spot that you're in, and it's going to be bad either way it goes. But there was a point in my life where the Lord made it where I did not fear death. Death was like a deliverance. Death was like a freedom to me. And it was only because I knew that if I died, that I was going to go to heaven, and that's a win-win. And so I didn't really have that fear. But I will tell you this, that I was concerned about how I was going to die. I mean, I'll just tell you. We don't have to fear death. If you're in Christ and the Lord has set you free and you've been given the salvation and the deliverance, then death is not a scary thing for you. You're going to heaven. But believe me, I completely understand that there can be some concerns about how we will die. Because we've seen some people go through some very difficult things. Some very hard deaths. And I understand that. That can be, for lack of a better word, a fearful thing a little bit. But if we know our Lord, and we know that He loves us and He cares for us, and we know that the end result that He has for us is just what it says it is, an eternity with Him in heaven, where there is no more tears, there is no more crying or suffering or any of the things that make this place what it is. This place would be wonderful if it wasn't for all that, right? This place would be wonderful if it wasn't for sin and disease and, you know, all these other things that make it so difficult. And heaven is not going to have any of that. And again, we can remember or remind ourselves of the things that Jesus Christ Himself went through. It says that He took it upon Himself. That He took, what was it? I guess it was in Hebrews where it says, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same. He partook of that too. And He endured it, and we can too. By the grace of God, the Lord will help us to be able to endure it as well. Through His Spirit being with us, He's not leaving us alone. He's not forsaking us. He's going to walk us through it. And I trust that the Lord will give us the grace that we need at the time that we need it to sustain us throughout the end. But we need not fear. We only trust in our Deliverer, our Savior, our God. And He will see us through. And we have that to impart to others. And not only do we have it to impart to others, but I believe we have a responsibility to impart it to others. And I pray that the Lord would help me to have a vision for how to do that. How to help them receive the deliverance that they need. And it's not just the people that, like I said, that are at the lowest low of their lives. But it's the people that you would maybe look on and think that it's going to be really hard to convince them that they have a need. It's going to be really hard to convince them that they're captive. And Jesus found that. And speaking to the Pharisees, it was difficult to convince them, to help them realize that they needed to be baptized. That they needed it. Jesus didn't need to be baptized, and yet He was. John even testified unto it. I don't need to baptize you. You need to baptize me. And Jesus said, suffer it to be so, right? But the Pharisees needed it. And they couldn't come to grips with it. They couldn't come to the realization of it to really be able to get set free. We have good news, folks.
Yes, we do.
We really do. And we've experienced it. And I pray that the Lord would make that experience even more real to us today than it was the day that He did it, so that we can be inspired to help others to be free too. That they can be delivered, that they can be set free, that they don't have to sit under it. They don't have to bear under it. They don't have to accept it. Because Christ has set us free. I appreciate your time and attention tonight.